Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Minutes past the hour here on the morning show with Preston Scott. That's Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B. It is Wednesday, April 28th. Show number 4451, day 99 of America held hostage, and never, ever has 99 days felt more like 4,005. I mean, it's absurd. This administration in Congress has only been at it since January 20th in combo. And it feels as if it has been an unending siege that has lasted years. Good morning. Sorry. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to be too heavy too soon. Hence the verse, 2 Corinthians 4:18, we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I have to daily remind myself, God is not asleep at the wheel. God will let man make a fool of himself. God will let nations rise, and God will let nations fall. Though the previous 4 years were not filled with perfection in any way, shape, or form, America was trending in the right direction. I'm going to share something that's going to sound a little trite, maybe, clichéic. It's not. It just isn't. The things that God touch are marked by addition and multiplication. The things that Satan, evil, touches, marked by subtraction and division. Look at this. Look at what's happening. This is my plea for you. To not just pray every single day. And yes, pray for our leaders, as misguided as many of them are. We have some that claim a faith. You know them by the fruit of their labors. Does their claim match up with their actions? That's not how you get into heaven. You don't get into heaven by doing good deeds. You get into heaven by grace through Christ. But that grace should exemplify itself and reveal itself in one's life. Yours, theirs, everyone's. That makes that claim. It should be revealed. What is being revealed? Subtraction and division. So not just praying daily, but coming together as a light set on a hill, a big light. That's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to live our life that way. But please rearrange your day. Get your pastor to announce it from the pulpit on Sunday. National Day of Prayer at Florida's Capitol, Thursday. 11:30 music, 12 o'clock praying begins. I will be there. Please join me. 10 minutes after the hour, this date in history and more as we get started on this Wednesday edition of The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Justice and the American way. Like Superman, only with a microphone. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Mayor's Day. We know we're going to talk to Tallahassee Mayor John Daly next hour. We will have a frank discussion on a wide, well, maybe not that wide a range. We're going to drill a little deeper today, I think. John always willing to come in and chat. Don't know about Mayor Greg Brodnicki in Panama City. If you know Greg, Greg thoroughly loves being on the program, but I have not heard back from his administrative assistant with the city of Panama City, and so I sent a note to Greg. I try not to bother people directly unless that's their preference. And so I shot a note out to Greg yesterday in the late afternoon, Panama City time, and have not heard back. So I do not know. The 8 o'clock hour could be open line Wednesday. Now, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've got so many stories here that I've yet to get to that I can just unpack. And maybe Grant and I'll just like roll dice or toss a coin. You know, heads will take calls, tails will do the stack.
That's going to be it, huh? A coin flip?
It could be.
Okay.
I mean, the NFL draft is coming up.
True.
I don't care much, but
we could talk about that. We could talk about, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, we got lots of things to talk about, though. We absolutely do. This date in history, let's take a look. April the 28th, James Monroe, fifth president of the United States, born in Westmoreland County, Virginia. That's in, I'm sorry, 1758. Did I say 1858? 1758. 1788, Maryland becomes the seventh state to ratify the Constitution. 1817, the U.S. and Great Britain agree to limit naval forces in the Great Lakes region. Who knew? I mean, really, that's one of those little-known aspects of the Revolutionary War, that the Great Lakes were part of it. We don't think about that.
Yeah.
We think it was all on the northeastern coast and maybe a little bit into the south. 1952, U.S. post-World War II occupation of Japan ends. See, we're nice people.
We'll get out.
We could have kept all that stuff. We could have kept it. We could have kept Germany. Might have had to fight the Ruskies over it, but we could have kept it.
True.
We could have kept a lot of places. No. No, we came in there to help, and we left. And if you wanted a little military presence to help bolster you a little bit while you got your feet under yourself, of course, now some of you still need to get your feet under yourselves so we can get our military out of there. But you know, you get my point. 1965, fearing that communists might gain power in the Dominican Republic, Lyndon Johnson sends forces to the island to help end a civil war. Little-known fact in history. And look at this, in the American Patriots Almanac, in 1997, Grant Allen was born. Look at you, sir.
It is true.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Did you think I forgot?
No, I was just kind of thinking of how is he going to drop this one?
How will he spring the trap?
Yeah, so it is true. Thank
so,
you.
So, 24.
Four, yeah.
And married.
Correct.
Woo! Producing the morning show. Writing. using your gifts and talents.
Yes.
Look at you.
Hey, just doing me.
Grant Allen, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be a media empire unto himself. It's going to be a picture of Grant with his hand on his hips, looking up in the sky, with a chiseled chin looking like the Empire State Building.
It's a bold prediction, but I'll go for it.
The Empire. Grant Allen. Oh, my. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, what do you got plans? Doing anything special today?
Nothing too crazy. Just,
no?
Yeah. Going to get some pizza
dinner
tonight.
Out or something?
Pizza tonight.
Pizza in?
Yeah, pizza
in or out?
In.
Okay. All right. I didn't get an invitation for pizza in. 16 minutes after the hour, it's the morning show.
FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
This is crazy!
And iHeart's radio station.
Years ago, my radio career started when I goofed around as a teenager with a couple of the DJs over at WCCO FM in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I'd be up there in the summertime, and they found out I did voices. One of the things I used to do is I would mock my father as Howard Cosell, and Dad wasn't aware that it was me for probably about 12 years later, 10, 12 years later. I told him that was me, and he was just, at that point, he could laugh about it. He wasn't laughing at the time.
He had heard the voice work that you were doing mocking him and didn't realize it was you?
No. No, he didn't. And so eventually, despite all that, I got my first job as a senior in high school working for KZZP Radio in Phoenix doing news on an FM, which was like the news director and the morning news guy was named Paul Talbot. And Paul was, oh, for sure, man. He's kind of a rad dude, you know, kind of that kind of guy.
Straight out of that era.
Yeah. And, you know, this was 1980s news, man. Hey, for sure, good news selection. Well done. Well done, bud. And he worked with Crazy Dave Otto. And some of you may know some of these names if you were in Phoenix at the time or might remember Crazy Dave from his era. And so I did news in the late afternoons. It was a swing shift. So I worked with the midday guy named Randy Stewart, who was from Wisconsin, who had the big accent from Wisconsin there. He just couldn't hide it.
Oh, gosh.
And then a guy named Steve Goddard. Now, Steve was went on to be kind of a big voice guy, did some infomercials in the early days of infomercials. Good guys. I mean, all of them really good guys. And so I did news for them when I was a senior in high school, and I eventually would get fired because I laughed about a story, not because of the story. It was just a tragedy of errors that took place. Randy across from me really felt bad because it was kind of his fault that I lost it on the air. And I lost it just with the worst possible timing. At something Randy did that I could see right in front of me, and there was no way of avoiding it. And Randy realized it was just one of those things. It just happened. So anyway, the guy who was the program director for the station at the time just felt like I might need a few more years of seasoning. And so I laid out of news for a little bit, went to work for KOY Radio, had, you know, some great opportunities there. It was a great experience. And then I went to work for a small Christian radio station. I left the big station. It was something that I felt like God laid on my heart to do. And I did. It made zero sense. Zero. Because KOY was the, you know, it wasn't the 90-pound, it was the 900-pound gorilla in the room. It was one of those AM talker adult contemporary music stations that went AM stereo. It was an ill-fated attempt that AM went for a short period of time. Some of the automobile manufacturers went there. But we did everything, and we were a big station. And I went to work for this small station, KRDS. And I did afternoon drive playing Christian music. And it was while I was doing that that I was introduced to a ministry called Teen Challenge. I had never heard of Teen Challenge. And I learned really quickly that Teen Challenge was not for teens. Yeah, they might have an occasional young 18, 19-year-old there, but it was generally young men, and eventually it would be young women, that needed help getting away from addictions, drugs and alcohol primarily. The backstory of Teen Challenge is fascinating. It's just fascinating. I think it was David Wilkerson and a gang member named Nicky Cruz who came out of the gangs, and they founded this program together, and it's changed lives. Well, they're doing a charity golf tournament coming up in June, and I'm going to try to get somebody on from Teen Challenge to just kind of talk about what they do, because what they do is phenomenal. And their clean rate is, even if you factor in that they're able to track only so many people that come through their doors. I mean, it's a voluntary program, but it's really, really good stuff. And if you want to support it, business owners, that I'm really talking to you right now, if you want to play in it, they'd love for you to play in the event. It's going to be at Golden Eagle on the 7th of June. I can't play. It's too early in the morning for me. Otherwise, I would absolutely be there. But if you're interested, go to TallahasseeGolf2021.eventbrite.com. B-R-I-T-E. TallahasseeGolf2021.eventbrite.com. And sign up. And if you can sponsor, they need businesses to step up. I'll just tell you, it makes a difference. 27 minutes after the hour here on The Morning Show.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Want to win $1,000?
Let's just do it, okay?
We've got a chance for you in less than 30 minutes on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Almost 37 minutes now past the hour here on The Morning Show. Wednesday, big stories in the press box. Joe Biden, following on the CDC revised guidance on masking, announces earlier today the CDC made an important announcement. Starting today, if you are fully vaccinated and outdoors, not in a big crowd, you can go without a mask.
Really? Really, Uncle Joe? Do we have permission? Do we have permission to go outside? Is that true?
If you're vaccinated, you can do more things more safely indoors and outdoors. For those of you who haven't gotten it, this is another reason to get vaccinated.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Oh, darn it. I realized, you know, I figured we were going to talk about this, and I was going to wear all of the masks that we've acquired over the year that none of them that I wear, and I was going to wear all of them at one time just to be so safe.
I have this compelling need to paraphrase Princess Leia in Star Wars. Emperor Biden, the tighter you squeeze, the more people will just slip between your fingers. During the briefing, Rochelle Walensky noted that less than 10% of documented coronavirus transmission has occurred outdoors. So what the crap are we saying? I am so over this. This no longer is, it really has nothing to do with coronavirus. This has to do with freedom. How dare the government tell you, okay, you can go back outside if you're vaccinated, but only in small crowds. Well, I guess that vaccine's really worth its price, isn't it? Leon County. With more vaccinations occurring every day, we're eager to be done with this pandemic, but it's not done with us yet. That's the commission chair, Rick Miner. The new CDC guidance reinforces what we know. Outdoor gatherings can be safe, and indoor gatherings can lead to the spread of COVID-19. We need to stay vigilant, safe, wear our masks in indoor spaces. In a related story, Pfizer CEO predicts a oral antiviral therapeutic that treats COVID by the end of the year. A pill. You just pop it at home and it stops it from replicating, so they say. 40 minutes after the hour, it's the Morning Show.
Listen to your opinions and tell you you're wrong. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
I just had to put oatmeal in my mouth to keep from saying bad things. If I have oatmeal in my mouth, I can't talk. Some people are out there going, man, eat oatmeal all morning long, pal.
Where's this been for 20 years?
What kind of radio program would that be, huh?
I do have a question.
Yeah, please.
Why has the Florida legislature suddenly not taken up the idea of what DeSantis called for? So DeSantis implemented the executive order to ban vaccine passports, and then he called on the Florida legislature to pass legislation to basically codify that, not just through executive order, but through statute. Where's that gone? Why has the legislature just abandoned that when that was the news earlier in April? Vaccine passports. So what happened?
It's a great question. Great question. Perhaps it'll be addressed in some form or fashion during the special session, but I doubt it because as of right now, special session strictly gaming.
Yeah, I was going to say that's just the tribal deal for gaming,
as I understand it. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know, Grant. It's a fair question.
Like, I mean,
lawmakers, you're listening to the show. Your aides are listening to the show. What's up? What's up? No, seriously, what's up? What? Why? Great question. And I'm not talking to Grant, I'm talking to you. You do see the insanity of the government giving you permission? And of course, it's figurative, it's not literal. They can't stop you unless you're on federal public grounds, perhaps. But even there, that might be dicey on public grounds. I mean, I don't know. But it's like, I wrote a 3-page note to Leon County commissioners. I was so incensed yesterday afternoon. I stopped my prep and I just started writing. handed it over to my wife for grammatical errors and spell check, because when I write, I know I'm going to make all kinds of mistakes. I'm going to leave, because when, maybe you write like I do. When I write, I don't necessarily put down on paper everything that I'm thinking, so I leave a word out here or there, and it can, and I might add a letter, and instead of way, it might say wait. And it's like, oh, sorry. And so I have to go back and correct it all. But I stated, I'm going to read just the very beginning and end, and I'm going to post this on my blog page. The Leon County release stating no change in the local mask mandate demands a response. Initially, I had no doubt the commission moved forward with the best of intentions. I ask you to carefully weigh and search what will follow. I believe elected officials owe it to our community to do so. And I gave them sources, I gave them links, I gave them everything. And I closed with this. I want to remind you, however indelicate this may be, that you all enjoy your pay and benefits as commissioners, as do appointed officials due to taxpayers. Your community has businesses which have closed, others on the brink. Employees have lost jobs. Many are currently underemployed. Each and every one of you has enjoyed full pay, no loss of benefits during this pandemic. Many, if not most, of the community has been financially impacted and or have lost benefits due to a loss of hours. Remove the unenforceable mandate and treat those who pay your salary as adults and let them decide for themselves. Ah! Additionally, what Joe Biden is doing right now, have you noticed what's going on with our enemies? U.S. Navy fires warning shots on three Iranian fast boats that got too close. Three Iranian, basically those little dinky speed boats that they hook up with armaments. They had to fire warning shots. They would not stop. Now, keep in mind, Saudi Arabia right now is dealing with drone boats full of explosives.
Oh, my gosh.
That they think are connected to Yemen. And they're blowing up in their ports. Weakness in the White House, as Mike Pompeo states, weakness begets war. Strength begets peace. When the other guy in the room can whip your rear, things tend to be more civilized. 47 minutes after the hour, it's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Giving you the facts. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Later on next hour, the police officer from Los Angeles that wants to sit down with LeBron James, pointing out that his tweet was irresponsible, dangerous, ill-advised, wrong, but wants to come at the conversation with an open perspective on listening to the guy, but helping him understand what it's like to be a police officer. I've got a 3-minute soundbite from the police officer that I'll share with you next hour. Mayor John Daly from Tallahassee next hour as well. Got a note here from a listener. Good morning, Preston. I've attached screenshots from a Facebook post of a local restaurant in Perry, Florida. Think it describes the current situation perfectly. Additionally, our local Huddle House is being forced to close at 3 o'clock every day because they don't have enough workers to keep it open. A few weeks ago, when I went through the drive-thru at our local McDonald's, there was one person running the entire restaurant.
Oh, my.
Cooking, taking orders, running the drive-thru. Even our local newspaper had an article last week calling for all willing and able people to get back to work. We're a small town, unique situation. It's only getting worse. Here's the post. from Deal's famous Oyster House. And I've verified this. I've gone and looked. I've gone to their website and their Facebook page via other means. Restaurant life is hard work, and I signed up for it years ago. It has been rewarding career choice, but at the same time, I've sacrificed quite a bit in my own personal life to keep it going. I've no regrets. I'm in the restaurant business because I enjoy serving and meeting people from all walks of life. With that said, I'm quickly finding out that I do not necessarily like all of the walks of life. I'm talking about the individuals who would rather sit on their butts for a free handout rather than working for what they have. We, just like every other sectors of the business community, are having a hard time finding individuals wanting to work or being willing to work. We're hiring cooks for night shift, 5 to 6 hours a night, 5 days a week. More, if wanted. If you or someone you know is looking for a job with great people, with a great group of people, serving some of the finest people in the world, come see me. If we cannot find competent employees, we will be forced to cut our hours of operation. Spread the word. The political world we live in today is crippling our communities. One may think that it is free money that you are sitting that has you sitting on your butt, but I promise you, nothing is free. It will run out and someone will pay. I more than anyone I know could use a break. I get tired. Sometimes I don't want to work, but I do. I do because I have bills to pay, mouths to feed. I have a community of friends that enjoy going out to eat and having a place to celebrate milestones. For those people, I work. I am their employee, and I choose to keep showing up for work. I may be the owner of the restaurant, but I work for the people that choose to eat here. It takes everyone working as a team to get the job done. Seeking hard workers who want to earn a living, buy their own things, and not see a government handout. Owner of Deal's famous oysters shop. Time for news. Here we go. Hour number two, the morning show with Preston Scott, Wednesday, April 28th, otherwise known as Grant Allen's birthday. Grant Allen's birthday. It's not April 28th. It's G-Man's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah.
21, 22?
I wish. Those were the golden days.
Oh, boy, yeah. All the way back then. Right. Just turned 24.
Right. I barely remember.
Yeah. Cozy up closer. Thank you.
Good.
There
better?
You go. Yeah. John Daly, Mayor of Tallahassee, with me this morning.
Preston, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. We're going to have a discussion today.
Okay.
Let's start with something that has been in the news that you wanted to talk about, the Team Emergency Response Program.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this program. I think this is one way to truly move Tallahassee forward. Look, we all know that mental health is that issue that either we're individually dealing with, we are related to someone who's dealing with mental health issues, or we know somebody who's dealing with mental health issues. And unfortunately, a lot of the calls that come through for assistance are nonviolent mental health calls. Last year, TPD and, law enforcement, including Sheriff's Department, took 2,300 calls that were not violent and they were dealing with mental health issues. So last November, I called for the creation of a pilot program. Other communities have been doing this across the country as well to their success. And we call it the TEAM, the Tallahassee Emergency Assistant Mobile Unit. So when a call comes through and it's nonviolent and it's a mental health issue, we will be dispatching, of course, a uniformed law enforcement officer that'll be there. They will be in a different uniform, but they will be easily recognizable as a law enforcement officer. And then you'll also have a trained mental health professional and an EMT there, too, for health reasons as well. We know that with this type of response, we could better aid people that are going through a mental health issue. We can transport to the Appalachian Center if need be as well. And of course, if there's a law enforcement response that is needed, we are there on site as well. And I think it's going to be very successful. Since we launched the program in the first month, we've already had 44 calls. And so we are seeing the need up for it here in Tallahassee, and I'm excited to see the success moving forward.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the need is there. Just this past weekend, my wife and I had an encounter with somebody that we tried to assist and help, and it was very clear that this lady had mental health issues. So we called TPD, and said, okay, there's no sign of violence here, but there's a sign of severe mental illness.
Sure.
And so those are the type of calls. You say the police officers will be there, an officer will be there.
Correct.
That means armed and prepared should things become violent.
Correct.
Dress differently. I'm guessing that is a psychological approach to kind of de-escalate and not heighten things.
Exactly. We have been told by the mental health professional community that, look, sometimes when you have someone that's experiencing a mental health trauma, a uniform can actually set off the trauma. Now, let's be clear. The officers will truly be recognizable as a law enforcement officer. Mm-hmm. And yes, they will be carrying all the equipment that they need. We have great police officers here in Tallahassee that will be able to respond if need be.
Of course.
But the lead on the team is a mental health professional. You know, we put a lot of burden on law enforcement today to answer so many different calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's necessarily fair to have law enforcement that have to serve as counselors, per se, in certain calls when we should have a trained professional that can handle that and allow the law enforcement to provide backup if needed be. One of the reasons why we have teams. So now we have a situation where you have a trained mental health professional.
Where will they come from?
So they're dispatched from Station 1, which is the
fire
station.
But I mean, what feeds that pool of mental health professionals? What qualifies somebody?
That's a great question. We have a contract and a relationship with the Appalachian Center. So
okay.
It's actually trained, licensed mental health professionals from the Appalachian Center that serve on this dispatch team. They are housed together so that they respond just like law enforcement or fire EMS.
So they're on a shift.
They're on a shift. Yes,
okay.
Sir. And it's going really well. We look forward to expanding it and including the sheriff's department as well so we can be countywide. And again, we've had 44 calls in the first month alone. Last year, we had 2,300 calls that came through. And I think it's going to be a good service for Tallahassee.
At any given time, how many mental health professionals are available to be called out?
Well, we will always have one trained professional on the team. It's a three-person team. You know, what that rotation is and how many are.
8-hour shifts, basically.
Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. And they're able to triage at the site and determine,
yes,
sir. Yeah, this is this and that is that.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Mayor John Daly with me 10 minutes after the hour. Check of weather and traffic. Back with more next.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
I say this calls for action, and now, nip it in the bud.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
But minutes after the hour. Tallahassee Mayor John Daly. Again, Greg Brudnicki, Panama City.
I don't know. I don't know if Greg's showing up to talk to me next hour or not. We always have a good visit, but we haven't gotten communication. So, John, you want to come back?
If he does, tell him I said hi. He's a
yeah.
great guy.
He is. He's a good fellow. All right. Let's talk about some other things.
Sure.
A city holiday for city workers to vote.
Right.
And in that, you've made the comment that there's voter suppression across the country. Can you give me an example of that, please?
Well, I think that when we look at limiting the number of drop-off ballot boxes, legislation that's going through, you know, we always get legislation that tries to curtail early voting as well. And I think that we should open up access to voting as much as possible. I actually think that voting should be a national holiday. I really do. If you look in the great state of Louisiana, their election day is on a Saturday, so that they can provide as many people as possible the opportunity to get out and vote.
But you don't think 2 weeks of early voting, including weekends, is enough time to vote?
Well, people vote at different times. I'm a traditionalist. I like to vote on election day.
Me too. And right. Have you ever had a problem?
Sometimes I have had a problem, but it hasn't been a deterrent for me. That is me. But and when I look at my schedule and my lifestyle, I have the opportunity to do so.
But the days of only voting on voting day are long in the rearview mirror. It is a concern to a lot of people that we're giving a paid holiday to city workers on the taxpayer's dime to do something that they have ample time to do over a 2 week period. And plus, by law, they have to be given time in a work day to vote on election day.
That, I believe, is a little fuzzy. And I'm not an attorney, but think of this. If you give an extra hour to allow people to vote and you show up at the polls and it's a three-hour wait to get in, which we have seen here in Leon County before, then you get in a little gray area.
Well, do you? I mean, and this is where I think people struggle with what we do sometimes with law.
Sure.
Common sense says, okay, supervisor, come on. Come on. But does it warrant a day off when there's so many days?
I also think, look, personally, I think it should be a city holiday. I think it should be a state holiday. I think it should be a federal holiday. I think schools should be out. I think kids should be involved, obviously not in voting because they're not old enough, but they should be involved in the election process.
In return for no early voting?
Civic education is important.
Agreed.
And I think
yeah.
it's been left off the table recently.
Agreed.
And so I think as a society, we should put more emphasis on election day.
And give back some of the early voting days?
No, I think that we should make it as accessible as possible.
Sure. Okay.
If in my dream world, if we had 100% participation in voting, that would be incredible. As an American, we have a right to vote.
Absolutely.
We should
as
provide,
long as you're legally in this country.
Of course. I mean, you have to be able to provide your ID and everything and follow all the laws and the rules.
But when you say and you announce and you in a press conference talk about voter suppression, I just want you to detail what's voter suppression that's out there.
Well, we're seeing the legislation that's gone through in Georgia. We've seen
which is not voter suppression. There is an expansion of voting, John.
They have limited the hours of drop-off boxes as well. And we have seen opportunities in other states and also in the state of Florida over the past years to try to curtail and put in voter suppression efforts. Look, when we limit our voting ability to where you can't even hand out a bottle of water to people that are standing in heat to go out.
Well, people can bring water if they feel that's important.
I just think that we should try to open it up as much as possible and allow people to vote.
So you're okay with the state Republican Party handing out water for people in line? Do you think that's appropriate?
Yes, of course.
You do?
Now, by law, you can't put a sticker on it. You can't put any advertising on it because if you're within
150 feet. So why not just put the burden on the person? If you're thirsty, bring a bottle of water because that's legal.
Right. Well, sometimes I don't necessarily bring water with me because I think I'm going to be in and out in 30 minutes and it might be an hour or 2 hours standing in line.
I can't think of a time with 2 weeks of voting that is really possible, but I suppose it can be, but... But again, it's like, okay, so, yeah. But there isn't voter suppression. What happened in Georgia is one of the greatest tragedies of all time.
Right. Well, I think we should open it up. Again, I think it should be a national holiday. I really do. I think Election Day should be a national holiday.
John Daly, Mayor of Tallahassee, with me 16 minutes after the hour here on The Morning Show.
WFLA at WFLAFM.com on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos, and iHeart's radio station.
Minutes after the hour, the morning show with Preston Scott, proving that we can have good conversation on the radio program here.
Of course.
Two different sides of the aisle, two different views on a lot of things, not all things. I'm good with what we're doing with the mental health thing because we've both agreed that a lot of the homeless issues that we face in this community are mental health issues.
Yeah.
And that spirals into other things as well.
But Preston, that's why I love coming on your show, is that we always have a good conversation. We don't necessarily agree on everything. We need more dialogue like this.
Why don't you think it can happen?
In society. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know if everybody is just so dug in on their own positions. And,
what if I made a suggestion as to why it doesn't happen?
Sure.
If you step back, and I try very, very hard to step back and self-analyze and so forth. If I were to suggest to you that generally speaking, and there are always exceptions, I think you're an exception. I do. I think that people that are on the left side of the aisle that hold very strong convictions tend to, when they get into a discussion, get personal.
Hmm.
And if you follow Twitter and Facebook, that's what you see. It devolves into name-calling, profanities on the left side of the aisle. It's the inability to have a discussion without using profanities.
I might have seen one, been on the receiving end of one or two of those communications.
Maybe so. Maybe so. But that dialogue is, for the most part, doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. And that's why I love coming on. I mean, we've been friends for a long time personally. We don't agree on every issue. My wife and I don't agree on every issue. My mother and I don't agree on every issue. That's part of how it goes. But we should always continue the dialogue, and especially in a public forum. This is how people educate themselves and make their own decisions, is by listening and participating.
Does it concern you that Facebook and Twitter and these platforms deplatform people that have differing views and that are almost always conservative?
I agree. And it does concern me. I mean, we have a First Amendment right of freedom of speech and expression. And anytime you curtail your freedom of speech, that is very concerning to me. It really is. Now, at the flip side, you know, me personally, I always try to conduct myself in a respectful manner. That's mm-hmm. just me. That's how I live my life. And so, you know, I'm not going to be out there calling people horrible things publicly and, you know, using bad language and everything. That's just me. But let's remember that the First Amendment, just because I don't like it, doesn't mean you don't have a right to say it. When you start censoring, that becomes an issue.
CNN has been uncovered by Project Veritas because their producers, their anchors have been caught admitting to, one of their technical directors caught admitting ad nauseum to slanting the news, creating stories that hurt Donald Trump and help Joe Biden. And now they're facing a lawsuit by Project Veritas for defamation.
Hmm.
It's crept not just from the social platforms, but it's in our mainstream media as well. There is an absolute bias out there. Does that impact your decorum at all as a mayor, knowing that the media outlets are, candidly, they're in the tank for your side of the aisle? They are. Do you have to be aware of that?
Of course. Now, I will say that I enjoy the relationship that I have with all of our local media outlets. I think the television station, even my relationship with the reporters at the Democrat, Steve Stewart's paper, all the radio stations, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on. I think that the real dialogue happens when it's Preston and John sitting down having a conversation about our issues. When, you know, I can't control the national media and how they're reporting, whether it's on the far left or the far right. And quite frankly.
But that bias spills down locally. For example, several weeks ago, all of the Gannett papers ran the exact same headline on gun control. And it was basically that mass shootings are up nationwide and up in this state. And it was the exact same headline mm-hmm. within 2 weeks of each other in newspapers across the country, including the local newspaper. And I made a prediction on the air. I said, watch, within days, legislation's coming from Democrats on guns. It happened later that very day. That's alarming. And as an elected official, I would think that any newspaper, even local, that is part of that, you have to question their credibility.
Well, it's an interesting conversation. And we could spend a couple hours on it alone, talking about these large, major, multinational corporations that are buying up newspapers, not only here, but across the world, and how it's influencing the local papers as well. Whether it's television, whether it's print media, you put into that the whole conversation about the struggles that print media is having, trying to go online, and the impacts of social media on how they report and how that's affecting their bottom line. I mean, I'm not an expert in any of this, but we all see what's going on around us in the media, and it's fascinating.
The reason I love what I do is no matter what you and I talk about, you will never be taken out of context because you said it here, and it's never edited. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thank you, Preston. I appreciate it.
John Daly, Mayor of Tallahassee, my guest, 27 past the hour.
$1,000?
Let's just do it, okay?
We've got a chance for you in less than 30 minutes on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Okay, 35 minutes after the hour, Greg Brednicki is a go. He's emailed me. He's going to be on the program this morning. Lots to talk about with Mayor of Panama City. I enjoy Mayor's Day. As John pointed out, we don't agree on a lot of things. We agree on some things. But I enjoy having the mayors of the two larger cities that we deal with routinely, Tallahassee and Panama City, on the program to be on the record. And as I pointed out to John, you get what you get. There's not any editing out. You're not going to have the reporter selecting what part of the soundbite they want.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Pet peeve number 5004 with the rest of the media. They'll sit down and do a 20-minute interview with a guy and give him one sentence in the article. What'd you do that for? It's just, anyway. How about good news in the press box? Pfizer says that the coronavirus oral antiviral pills should be ready by the end of the year. What is significant about this is something, A, you can just take at home. B, it is a therapeutic, which means it is called a protease inhibitor. It prevents the virus from replicating. So it snuffs it, and your immune system kicks its butt from there.
So they only recommend it, or they will be recommending it, if you are sick.
Perhaps.
Or if you've got it.
Symptoms.
Not as a preventative measure.
It would seem.
Gotcha.
And then C, no ouchie. You don't have an ouchie.
You don't get stuck in
you
the arm.
You don't get an ouchie and a Winnie the Pooh Band-Aid. Because that's the one I would ask for. Winnie the Pooh or maybe a Mickey Mouse Band-Aid.
That's cute.
Maybe Grover from Sesame Street. I don't know. Now the bad news. Under the category of what planet did you fall off of? Joe Biden giving those of you that have had a vaccination permission to be outside without a mask. Now, I know that there are some of you, and I apologize if I'm coming off a little harsh with all of this, but you have to understand, the masks are an absolute mirage to a virus. They don't exist. If you hawk something out of your mouth, a mask is going to catch it. It's going to do a good job. As Anthony Fauci said, you know, a droplet or something like that.
But if you got a little schmutz.
If you get a little schmutz on your fingers, it could make things worse. And I contend, and I believe I can make a very strong case, that the CDC has lied for political purposes all along. Remember, the CDC is a political organization. evidenced by its change in two distinct protocols with regard to COVID. How deaths are handled and masks. Because for two decades prior to COVID, deaths were handled in a totally different way. They weighted it so that COVID carries an inordinate amount of weight on determination of morbidity, when in fact there are more than likely comorbidities and COVID is only a small player. The point is that the death toll, if we applied the pre-October 2020 standards, would be 6%. Leon County, that's 18. Nation, 35 plus thousand. Not 500 and some thousand. It matters. And oh, by the way, masks suddenly don't stop viruses any more than they did before COVID. It's a virus and it hasn't changed its size. There's still little Napoleons out there 40 minutes after the hour.
Live, local, and laughter. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Just let you listen here. I've been very critical of LeBron James. I think everyone has a right to be critical, of course, of whatever they want to be. But yeah, I'm pretty fired up about Bron. I think he has abused his platform, but he has a right to abuse it. I don't think he has a right to abuse it while in the uniform or in a post-game press conference. He's on the clock for the NBA. I think the NBA and the LA Lakers need to deal with that. Bron's a big guy. He can quit and then go about being an activist like Colin Kaepernick. But an LA police officer named Deion Joseph happens to be black. He had this to say about the entire LeBron and his reaction to the Ohio shooting.
Everybody's hurting right now. And not only is everybody hurting, people are also being gaslit. They're also being put together and everybody's in their own silo or their tribe. And when we begin to tribalize, bad things start to happen. It's just really unfortunate. So I just really wanted to just hopefully show that two men from different ends of a spectrum can sit down. And actually, we probably want the same thing. We want to save lives. But there's ways to do it without creating or widening the chasm. I don't want to call him irrational, because if I wasn't a police officer and all I saw 24/7 on social media and on the radio was that the police are out to get black people, police hate people of color, and they're repeating that over and over and over again, I'd probably feel the same way. So I was LeBron James before I became a police officer. So I want the anger towards him to stop, because he, in my opinion, just like I was, is also a victim. He's also been guided to a thought, because that's all he was exposed to. So for everybody that's out there that's, you know, so happy that a cop is coming against LeBron, that needs to stop right now. That's not what I'm about. I'm not about calling him out or laying him out. I'm about hoping that we can sit down like men and have a civil conversation and understand and humanize each other. That's the main reason that I reached out the way that I did. I think he's a good human being. The things he's done for children, I think is incredible. And man, when people were giving him flack, I said, dude, this is a really good dude right here. Now, of course, I didn't like what he said, but I feel like in my heart that, you know, there's hope. If not he and I, maybe what I've done can spark dialogue across the nation where cops and communities can start sitting down again and humanize each other once again. That's so important. Where do police forces recruit from? The American public. And I can assure you the vast majority of people they recruit are people who came on with the best of intentions. They're not perfect, but I think their hearts are in the right place. They want to do the right thing. And yes, unfortunately, the negative exception can get in. I'm not denying that. But for the most part, you can trust that most officers are just hardworking blue collar people trying to do a very tough job. We're human beings dealing with human beings. And that's not always going to be perfect or pretty. We have to stop the tribalism. We have to stop the dehumanization of each other. Look, our job is as unpredictable as humanity is, and we're human beings doing it. And if you understand that, you'll get it. No cop wakes up in the morning wanting to take somebody's life. I mean, imagine, you know, nobody wants that smoke nowadays, but these are split second decisions. Do we always get it right? Most of the time we do, sometimes we don't, but that's not always default to racism. You know, we have to judge people by the content of their character and the totality of the circumstances, like Dr. Martin Luther King, not their skin color. And that's important to also reduce this chasm and step back, take a few deep breaths, wait for the facts to come out before you judge.
Yeah. Great comments. Great comments. LAPD officer Deion Joseph. He said, as far as LeBron James, his current stance on policing is so off base and extreme. It showed a lack of understanding of the challenge of our job in the heat of the moment. You basically put a target on the back of a human being who had to make a split-second decision to save a life from a deadly attack. The officer went on to say, look, you said you took your tweet down because you didn't want it to be used for hate when the tweet itself was the embodiment of hatred, rooted in a lack of understanding of the danger of the situation. So congratulations to the officer. I appreciate that he said he doesn't want it to be an officer coming back at LeBron, but that's what it is. And I appreciate it. And I know other law enforcement officers do as well. Now, I'll be fascinated to see if LeBron is man enough to step up and have the conversation. 46 minutes after the hour.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
You can't handle the truth.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Let's see if we can chronicle this and put some arms around it, all right? Florida has a problem with pythons.
Bad one.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. We've got Burmese and rock pythons that have destroyed the Everglades. They're winning the war. Absolutely winning the war. Because what's going to happen is they do take on alligators, but they kill all the young alligators too. They eat them. They eat them. They're little guys. They produce about between 70 and 100 snakes at a time. And while they're doing a good job putting, you know, they're catching the male snakes and putting homing devices in them, and then they follow them back to the female, and then they kill the female, and then eradicate the guys around there. And that's fine, but the battle's over. That war is lost. All right, so we've got that. In your newscast, locally, we've got an iguana problem.
Yeah, primarily South Florida, but...
It's an iguana problem.
It's an iguana problem.
Just like South Florida's a Burmese python problem.
Correct.
And maybe even a few anacondas down there.
Sure.
You seen the movies about anacondas? They get like 140 feet long and will swallow a Volkswagen whole.
Yeah.
Let's see. We've got lionfish...
In our rivers.
Off our coast.
Yeah. On the coast, almost working their way into tributaries across the state.
Yeah, they're invasive, and they destroy all of the fishery.
Yeah.
You've got that other fish from South America that we talked about. That washed up on...
Paramaya?
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's ugly, and it's mean, and it's a completely invasive species that was in a river that feeds into the Gulf. And now this.
What a great time to have an ammo shortage with all these creatures trying to kill us.
A tarantula first spotted on the grounds of Zoo Miami.
Yeah. On the grounds, not even in captivity?
No.
Oh, sweet
Lord. That's my point.
Sweet Lord.
Researchers now have identified it as a new species of venomous tarantula.
Oh, my stars.
The Pine Rockland Trapdoor Spider, first spotted on the grounds of Zoo Miami in 2012, wasn't until this year that researchers identified it as an entirely new species. They have a rough carapace on their front half and a silvery gray abdomen with a light-colored patch on top. They're really quite beautiful spiders, said Rebecca Godwin, assistant professor of biology at Piedmont College. No, they're not. They're a spider. They're they're ugly. They're gross. They bite. And they're poisonous.
Where are they from?
I guess Pine Rockland. Whatever. I have no idea. The Zoo Miami. Yeah, how does that happen?
The Miami Zoo is their home.
How does that happen? How does a new species, never before known, show up outside captivity at a zoo? Yeah, if it were in, you know, if they were having conjugal visits on the weekends in the aquariums, okay, whatever, you bred the thing.
Yeah, right.
But they're saying, no, no, this is a totally new deal. I'm just like, what? Florida's like ground zero for
Jurassic Park.
For disasters. Yes. They're going to be ruling our... We're going to have snakes slithering across the Capitol any day now.
Yikes.
Mayor Greg Brudnicki, Panama City, joins me next. After the hour, it's hour number three, Wednesday on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, here we are, over there celebrating his 24th birthday. Producer of the radio program, our post-millennial, Grant Allen. He's in Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B. Great to be with you. I'm Preston Scott, and we are joined by the mayor of Panama City, the one, the only, Greg Brudnicki. Hello, Mayor. How are you?
Good morning, Preston. I'm doing well.
I was just talking before the top of the hour about the fact that the Miami Zoo now has a new problem. They've uncovered inside the zoo, living there, a venomous tarantula. Okay, now that's Miami. But we also have a problem with Burmese pythons. We have a problem with lionfish off our coasts. And iguanas now are fair game. I'm curious, with the climate in and around Panama City, do you have problems with exotic animals like iguanas wandering around?
We just have a crayfish problem.
That's it, huh?
I think so. I know that that I've been on this committee to talk about reopening the pass, and one of the issues that we've talked about is the fact that we've got a Choctahatchee beach mouse that may be displaced, and so we may not be able to reopen the pass. And I really, we could spend a couple of segments on that one, but it really, for the health of the bay, I would hope that they would think that the bay and the seagrasses were more important than certain flowers and beach mice. But, you know, we don't have the exact same issues, but we got some that are just as challenging.
Panama City has just been given quite an accolade, and I'll be honest with you, in the wake of what your community has been through, Greg, I think it's nothing short of astounding. Share with our listeners.
Well, we yesterday I found out that we were considered the eighth best place to live in growing or population in America, which speaks volumes for, I guess, the fact that, you know, we've had a lot of notoriety. You know, you haven't heard us by us talking every month, and really on a national level, I guess people have found out during this COVID crisis that they were forced to stay home and forced to Zoom and forced to work from their house. And then if they realize that it costs you X amount of dollars to live in San Francisco and New York, and you have to work from your home, why not get out of that home and go live somewhere that's not going to cost as much and it's going to have a hell of a lot better weather and access, you know? So I think that helps, you know? I mean, common sense, you know, you're forced to do certain things, especially a lot of the people that maybe were living in an area like that where they couldn't make as much money because of the COVID and they still had that big beefy house payment, living in a city that you had to wear a mask just to step outside. So, you know, we were a little bit more lenient with that situation. We didn't have a mandate. We tried to keep people as safe as possible, but we didn't get goofy about it, you know?
Were you surprised the governor extended the state of emergency? And what would your understanding be in maybe trying to figure out why it was done?
Now you're saying the state of emergency for COVID?
Yes, sir, I am.
Or okay, because we've got two of them in place in the city. One has to do with the hurricane. But no, I'm not surprised. We extended it again in our meeting yesterday, and simply because I think when the hospitals tell me that we no longer have a COVID ward, if they haven't allocated a certain amount of space in the hospital for that specific thing, then that's probably going to, you know, we're going to lean towards possibly not having that as a state of emergency. But as long as the state has it, we're going to follow suit with that situation. But there's still a few people with it, and we still want people to protect themselves. It is getting better.
Yeah.
But we're not quite as neurotic about it.
Well, speak for yourself, sir. We're plenty neurotic here, and we seem to be very proud of it.
Yeah.
Hang on, Greg. Greg Brodnicki, the mayor of Panama City, with me as we chat here on the morning show with Preston Scott.
First to know, the morning show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
He's the mayor of Panama City, the Honorable Greg Brodnicki with us. We do this once a month and talk to the mayors of Tallahassee and the mayor of Panama City. Keep you up to speed on what's going on in your community and in the communities around us. We love each other. We want the best for each other. And, Greg, we were just kind of touching on COVID. I'm not trying to be flippant here, but Panama City has proven that it's possible to navigate the waters of this without mandates that suggest somehow the government's in charge of telling you what you can and cannot do regarding a mask.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because the same people that said we were the eighth fastest growing city are the same ones that 6 or 8 months ago said that we were the worst for COVID. And it's because they had some skewed numbers,
yep,
you know, that didn't get straightened out before. So, you know, it's all in the making sure that your facts are true. So I think that we applied a lot of common sense to our issue over here. We had businesses. They said, listen, it's your business. You can restrict someone from coming. I'm in the funeral business. We encouraged people to wear masks, you know, to make sure that they wore them when we had a chapel service and also in churches. And by and large, they did when it was really rampant. But we did not force people. We didn't put a mask mandate in because I couldn't see going around saying, okay, you got a $25 fine. You don't have a mask on. It's too hard to regulate and too hard to enforce. Just try to apply common sense to the situation, and that's basically what we did here, and I feel like it worked. We did have a lot of people that were sick, regardless of whether or not they wore a mask.
Yeah.
My son's in Atlanta right now, and he's been wearing a mask all the time. Guess what? He just got COVID. So, you know, I don't know what the real answer is, but we heard so many mixed messages from so many people that were so-called experts. How could you rely on all the different things, especially with the puns, all the different things that people were saying? So we applied common sense to our situation.
Greg, you mentioned a second state of emergency still existing as a result of Hurricane Michael. We're about to enter another hurricane season. Give us the status of state funding and just kind of where things are right now.
Well, you know, we're very hopeful that we're going to be getting some money from the legislature from this round of them meeting. But we have $113 million fund amount of money that's going to be coming through FEMA, through the state, for us to do infrastructure on, for which, you know, 25% of that is going to be forgiven. The other 75%, we get 20 years to pay for it with no interest. So all of that money is going to be coming into our area, into our city, to redo roads that were just, and because of the trees, devastated infrastructure under the ground, and, you know, some really dated stuff that's all it took was have it exacerbated by the trees being uprooted. And so from that, we'll be able to fix things that we probably wouldn't have been able to fix before, except in, you know, little dibs and dabs and increments. So that really helps us, and it helps us. That's another one of the reasons that we may be on the growing trend, because especially like with Tyndall, you know, we've got Tyndall's. There's going to be over $4 billion spent at Tyndall. We're definitely going to get three squadrons of F-35s here. So there are a lot of people that are moving here. Because of the fact that you know, there are a lot of exciting things that are happening since the storm, and we'll have an area we're gonna do a study on our stormwater to make sure that we can help fix that situation or for our you know, for the developers that come in. So all of those things lead to the reason that we are growing.
Mayor Greg Brednicki with me for one more segment. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. Man, F-35s, not only is that good for the economy, but they're really cool when they do flyovers. All right, 16 minutes past the hour. More in a moment.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
And free.
And iHeart's radio station.
The mayor of Panama City. See that? Hit that little post there on the music. Wham! The mayor of Panama City, Greg Brednicki, with me this morning, Wednesday on the morning show. It's April 28th in your calendar, but forever now known as Grant Allen's birthday. And so Grant celebrating his 24th birthday over there in Studio 1A. Greg, is there a pecking order? You mentioned projects, and you've got a list of them, and I know your constituents know the things that need to get done. But is there a pecking order to the things that have been determined to be the single most important you got to do when the money comes in?
Well, one of the things that, I mean, there are a lot of things that we've got going on. FEMA, we've still got 12 projects that FEMA has not approved yet, which we're still waiting on. But, you know, most of the things that we're wanting to do now, getting our quality of life things up to par as far as parks and stuff to have a sense of normalcy, getting a bunch more trees planted. Our stormwater issue here, with a million trees being gone in the city, the stormwater, the water level in the city is certainly higher when we have rain. And that makes those things are really exacerbated by that, because after the storm, we were able, you know, we realized how much stormwater was running into pipes that were cracked or broken and then processed through our sewer system, you know, through our sewage plant.
Right.
So those are the things that need to get done first, so that we can be prepared for all the things that we want to do. It's amazing
since the storm, how many things that when we had Sally come through with all the rain that came from Sally, how we found a lot of stuff that was broken that we didn't realize before. So we've still got a lot of work to do on roads and infrastructure.
Michael obviously decimated the community in a lot of different ways, Mayor, and one of the most significant, obviously, is the housing situation, because then workers come in, flood the area to try to put things back in order. They don't have any place to stay for long-term projects. How's the housing situation in Panama City?
Getting better. We've gotten quite a bit of money from the state to be able to help people get things repaired and to get things built. Cities invested in making lots available for developers. So there is a lot going on. There's a lot of apartments being built now. We're still waiting for HUD to get some money for our public housing. Getting that started. It's cleared and ready, but it's not done yet. One of the things that I failed to mention earlier was yesterday, our high school, one of our local high schools, Bay High School, the cheerleaders were the national champions in their for the national cheerleading champions for the United States.
Whoa!
They came back on a bus. Now you can imagine being a state champion, but being a national champion, that's a big deal.
Heck yeah, it is. Way to go.
So we got out and celebrated with them a little bit yesterday and painted their bus with the fire department hose. And it was a big deal. So I really thought I needed to mention that.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Very, very hard.
Yeah, shout out to all you at Bay High School and parents. I know you make the sacrifice along with your kids, but kiddos, well done there. Well done. That's good honor.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, wrapping up here. What is upcoming city commission meetings or meetings that you will be attending that are consequential to the citizenry?
Well, we now have all of our plans approved for the revitalization of all the different districts as well as the downtown. So now we are going to start actually putting those plans in action. And one of the things that happens is, a lot of times you'll have these plans that get done and they sit on a shelf. But now, because of the storm, we will have resourcing available to do the things that we need to do. So that's the next step, is to put those plans in place for the things that we have realized after having our consultants come in and tell us, well, this is what you need to do in Millville, this is what you need to do in Glenwood, this is what you need to do in St. Andrews and downtown. And, with St. Joe signing their cut the ribbon on that a few weeks ago, all of those things are now going to come to fruition because everybody's got the resourcing to do it. There's no excuse.
Greg, as always, I really enjoy our visits together, and thanks so much for the 30 minutes. I appreciate it. We'll talk again next month.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Mayor Greg Brudnicki with us this morning on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. 27 minutes past.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Listen when you want or listen again. The Preston Scott Podcast is at WFLAFM.com.
All righty, let's go ahead and let's do this. I am.
He's rubbing his forehead.
Yeah,
he's,
my brain is going to blow up. This would be what Glenn Beck would call a duct tape moment, brown paper bag. When the Leon County Commission sent out a note saying, aha, the governor has extended the state of emergency, and I'm asking for what the reasoning was behind that. And look, Ron DeSantis doesn't do things for no reason. There is a reason why this was done. I just want to have those outlined and explained to me, because what it did is it gave communities like Leon County the ammunition to keep the mask mandate in place. Now, juxtapose that to what's happening in Panama City, though, where they don't have a mask mandate, but they too have an emergency order.
Yeah.
The differences are stunning in how each community is handling this. I was so, okay, that's it. I had been delaying writing this note to the city, to the county commission. And I believe earnestly that early on when they did this, they felt like they were doing the right thing. You know, early on, we weren't sure exactly what we were dealing with. Were we dealing with a biological weapon? I mean, that was not out of the realm of possibility, and it's still a consideration for how this thing got started. A test run of how this might work. However, as I saw businesses hurt, people lose jobs, people be underemployed because they can't recover the job they once had the way they had it. Because hours were cut, because businesses were damaged, and businesses have closed. Rest assured, it's happened. And so the Leon County Commission has refused to give any measuring tool by which we can hold them accountable to give back the freedom that they've stolen. And yes, it's been stolen. Now, I admit, I don't wear a mask hardly ever. I've never worn a mask. I mean, when I had to go to Mayo Clinic for some diagnosis work back, I forget when it was, in fact, just a few months ago, I had to wear a mask to walk into Mayo. Okay, whatever. That's fine. But the extent I've ever gone is I put a gator up over my face and rock on. But only now will I do it if I'm asked. And you better ask me politely. Because the county ordinance is a shell. It is unenforceable, but it is damaging businesses. And my note to the commission, I'm going to post on my blog page. I'm going to go ahead and put it up there. It's got links. And it lays out what I think, and obviously, you know, I am accused of at times, well, you always think you're right. Well, heck yeah, I do, and so do you. If you don't think you're right when you're doing whatever it is you're doing, you're an idiot. You ought to do what you think is right. Of course I think I'm right. But if I'm wrong, I also have the courage to admit it. But I will make the argument And I laid out the argument to the county commission. But it ends with this. You have kept getting paid your full wages and your benefits. At the taxpayer's expense, whom this mandate harms their businesses. There are businesses that want to rip the sign off, but they won't do it because some of the mask holes around here are going to make their life miserable if they do. And I get it. If you're that business, I get it. I absolutely get it. Because we have enough illiberal leftists around here that will ruin you. I get it. Stay afloat. But I'm going to share a brief version of the apologetic on the whole masking thing next.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
What's up, Doc?
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
The apologetic. I will be printing this, publishing this on my blog page, and I may add a couple things to it. But this is what was sent to the county commission. And feel free to just consider this or just say, you've lost your mind, Preston. Masks are the only way to survive. Just keep in mind, I haven't gotten sick. I haven't missed one day of work due to sickness during this whole thing, and I don't wear a mask. I go to the grocery stores, I go shopping, I go to restaurants, I do exactly what I've always done. You just, for whatever it's worth, there but for the grace of God go I. I get it. Reliance on the CDC is bad policymaking. CDC is a political organization underneath the federal government. It is shaped by politicians and bureaucrats. Prior to March of 2020, there's a reason why Anthony Fauci, Jerome Adams, the Surgeon General, why they all said guidance is that healthy people don't need to wear masks. Let me ask you, how can you credibly say that that guidance suddenly shifted at the end of the very month when they were saying that on national television if the pandemic had just started? The pandemic in America didn't get serious until March. There's no way there can be a study showing that masks suddenly work. It's not possible. And oh, by the way, there still aren't studies that show they work. They're guesses, they're opinions, they're guidance. But I want you to hold on to the fact, Fauci and the CDC And the Surgeon General said masks are not needed for healthy people. They later circled back and said, oh, but asymptomatic, nothing. Every viral outbreak has asymptomatic people. There are always people that are not affected by the virus with symptoms. They just carry it. Boom, 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 boom. That's why we're supposed to wash our hands. That's why you cough into your elbow. That's why if you feel a little awkward, a little under the weather, you stay home. That's why you do those things. Suddenly, though, the masks were the thing to do. Also, suddenly, the CDC changed the guidelines on how medical examiners and coroners determine cause of death. They weighted COVID-19 heavily. So heavily, they changed the guidelines in October of 2020. Why? Honestly, the numbers weren't scary enough. By changing the numbers and not going with what were the accepted guidelines that the CDC had published in for the two decades prior, the numbers inflate. All of a sudden, you now literally see no flu this year. There's no flu. It's all COVID. Deaths of every major illness are down because it's all being attributed to COVID. If you applied the same metric that was the CDC guidance prior to October of this past year, the death toll is 6%, the announced number. Then there are studies done and published in the New England Journal of Medicine, as well as the National Institute of Health, the National Center for Biotechnology Information. Peer-reviewed, that show masks have no effect on a virus. Meanwhile, as businesses and people are suffering as a result of the mandate, and they are, your elected officials, using your tax dollars, continue to get their full paychecks and benefits. That is an offense to me, and it ought to offend you. The least they can do is cut their pay and their benefits. 46 minutes after the hour. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Minutes after the hour here on the Morning Show, and I think it's time. Absolutely, it's time. Grant, producer of the Morning Show. Push that tear back in, buddy. Push that tear back in.
And you played the Chipmunks version.
You're welcome.
My wife, when she goes back and listens to this, she's going to laugh so hard because we watched like one of the Chipmunks movies, and I was just terribly annoyed the entire time. And so it's been like a running inside joke that she knows the Chipmunks from that one movie. Like, just annoyed the crud out of me. And so the
what was it? That they were rodents? Their voices were pitched?
It was
what?
I don't know what it was. It may be the high-pitched nature and the way they sang. And so you chop the Chipmunks.
You're welcome.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
The gift that keeps on giving.
That's right.
Yep. From Not the Bee, Vogue is now asking the question, is having a baby in 2021 pure environmental vandalism?
Saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Guess what's racist today?
Having a child?
Soap dispensers. Automatic soap dispensers.
Okay, did not see that one
coming.
Yeah,
actually, it's a story that's been out for a little bit. The claim is that soap dispensers are racist because they don't recognize darker skin melanin.
Like the automatic darker sensor melanin ones?
Yeah, and that's absolute hogwash because they don't recognize mine or yours or anybody else's routinely either. You have to do like a gyration type dance in front of those things to get them to dispense soap. They're brutal. They're just like the hand towel dispensers.
Oh yeah.
You wave, nothing. Hey. You wave again.
You start talking to
it. Shake your fanny in front of it. I mean, you do an Indian dance. You do whatever you can to get one shred of paper, and then you get one, and then it usually jams up on you.
Brought to you by Barino Heating and Air. It's the Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
Look back at the program in 180 seconds or less. Talk to the two mayors, John Daly of Tallahassee, Greg Brodnicki, Panama City. Check it out on the podcast in just a little bit. It's a good conversation with both. Joe Biden is giving you permission to be outdoors again. Without a mask, if you get vaccinated, maybe, in small crowds. Nothing like getting your freedoms back, huh, people? Yeah. Take it in. That's the smell of freedom, ladies and gentlemen. That's what that is. Take it in and bask in it. CDC's guidance giving cover to governments all across the country, in small communities and large, to keep their damaging, societal damaging, economic damaging mask and mandates in place. The Leon County Commission, I suspect, will soon be facing protests. People are over it. They're done. Pfizer CEO predicts a oral antiviral pill to deal with COVID ready by the end of the year. That ought to help. Now, look, I'm grateful. Wonderful. Have one by the end of the year. Cop with LAPD sends out a note and follows it with a pretty articulate pleading for LeBron James to sit down and have a serious discussion because he doesn't get it. He does not get policing, and he needs to have a chat about it. Man up and have a chat. Tomorrow, Steve Stewart from Tallahassee Reports, FSU Soccer's Mark Krikorian, their team going for an NCAA title, and much more. Thanks for joining us.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.